Good morning, commissioners. Good morning, staff. Good morning, audience. The Planning Commission for the 1st of May, 2018 will come to order. And we ask everybody to silence your cell phones, please. And we have any staff report items?
Mark Gebhardt, Development Services Department. Craig Dossie would normally be here presenting his report items, but he's at the Board of County Commissioners meeting today. The issue of topic with the Board of County Commissioners is a resolution to relax the code requirements for the fires in the southwest or south portion of the county. You may remember in Black Forest Fire, there was, 488 homes and 15,000 acres in a lot of non-conforming circumstances. Been there since the 20s, regulations came in after, small lot sizes, et cetera. So the county relaxed certain land use regulations for approximately 3 years to let land be reconstructed in the Black Forest area. Today's board meeting, the board will consider a resolution for the Carson Midway fire, where there were two houses destroyed or mobile homes destroyed and a number of outbuildings, and the highway or the mile marker 117 fire, where there were, I believe, 18 homes destroyed. Most of those were modulars on permanent foundations or mobile homes that had not been placed permanently, including one stick-built home right along Fountain Creek. The differences between this and the Black Forest is we don't believe we're going to see the number of unique circumstances like we saw in Black Forest, but we're asking the board to pass a resolution that's very similar that says allow these folks some breaks, especially from our application fees that might not have been in place at the time those houses were built, to combine a site plan, driveway permit, and other permit fees into a single application with no charge to that to facilitate reconstruction. And I could pull up a map and have one on the screen, perhaps, which if you've never seen the extent of those two fires, ironically, the Midway fire came from over here and through this area and kind of went around or portion or went around the landfill that's located there. And then the 117 fire started apparently by a car dragging a chain right along the interstate and started across this area and then just blew up as it went out into the grasslands further to the east. The concentration of houses, there was a house destroyed right here along Fountain Creek. That's in the RR5 zone district on 80 acres, which is kind of ironic if you drive by it and see that house is no longer there, obviously. It's surrounded by alfalfa fields. How it got through, almost surrounded, three-quarters of the way surrounded by the alfalfa fields, and the fire must have come through that, then jumped over into the creek and burned. The other areas, there's a concentration of houses around Hanover School, and concentrations over in this area further here, out here. The difference is almost everything is on 40 acres. One, it's A35 zoned, which allows actually two houses per property. A35 zoning allows outbuildings to be built without building code compliance, and agricultural buildings without building code compliance. So we've had to modify some things in those resolutions. So that's what's being presented to the board today. We'll periodically update, if we need to, any reconstruction efforts. One of the things that you've heard is they are anticipating a bad season for wildfires, and we wrote the resolution to accommodate any other events that occur within this year so that we don't necessarily have to go back to the board to relax those requirements. Related to that, and you'll see it on our website now, and if you've probably seen some of the revised county's website, the Sheriff's Department has issued a Stage 1 fire restrictions. That Stage 1 fire restrictions means we will not accept or process fireworks stands this year. So unless something changes, we're putting the word out now that don't even bother to send them to us because we don't want to take your money and give it back.
Good.
On a obviously unrelated note, from the El Paso County water planning effort that Commissioner serves on the board, we've had several meetings on that. We had a productive meeting relative to the water plan yesterday. As you may remember, and I don't know how much was reported to you in the past, is there was a survey that went out for all the water providers. And then there's a second survey that's going to go out for the citizen aspects. The water providers survey essentially closed and people provided portions of information to the county, but there was a large gap of that information for areas that didn't report. They didn't tell us what they had. So what we've had to do is back up and use the state water supply index that the state health department and the US EPA produce on public water systems, those greater than 25. We need to stop? Okay.
Okay, so without objection, we don't mind. We're going to go into recess and see if we can correct the streaming challenge that we have with the IT. We'll revisit in about 5 minutes and see where we're at and make a decision whether or not to continue at that time.
Yeah, it's just
a few people. I didn't hear any. And when we come back, I forgot to establish our quorum and announce our members. So I'll do that when we return.
Actually, I wasn't born in July for the Planning Commission for a bit.
I just don't like the cold with the winter and the hot.
So I understand our streaming's been fixed. Thank you, Nancy. She does a great job back there. Before we resume the staff report, I just want to, for the record, establish that we do have a quorum today and announce that our voting members shall be Mr. Joya, Mr. Risley, Mr. Wood, Ms. Lucia Therese, Ms. Dillon, Ms. Friedman, and the chair. And also want to announce that Ms. Lucia Therese and Ms. Dillon have been moved from associate members to regular members as of this meeting. And as of the next meeting, Ms. Friedman will then be a regular member as well. So congratulations to them. And with that, we can resume the staff report.
And could we back out a little bit off the screen? As I was mentioning, relative to the County Water Master Plan, which I think you've been identified previously, that would be a document that we would bring in front of the Planning Commission for review and action. The first step was to do the survey of the water providers, and then the second step, drill down into that water providers to provide that information that doesn't seem to be available from what they submitted to us. And we had to pull lots of information from the state water supply list of the community water systems to provide what their tap number was, what their population number was, and whether they were using surface water or groundwater. The master list that was sent out to the water districts included, if you put it in a table, there's 67 water districts over on the left side, and there's about 60 answers across the top on the right side of what you have, what you're projected to have in 2040, and what you're projected to have in ultimate building. And that's the ultimate goal, is to get to that future build-out time frame, which we'll have to do some population projection modifications to bring that. The reason I bring this up to you is we've gone through several gyrations to try to accommodate things that make some sense in the overall planning as we go forward, and we'll show this at the next board meeting that a subcommittee got together and done it, as researched it, is we're trying to keep black squirrel together in one area. They're really a provider to other people. Regions 4A and 4B are designated groundwater basins. We're trying to keep some of those consistent. The Black Forest, monument area here has some consistent terminology, ability to work together. The Black Forest, or the Falcon area here, has some consistent approaches to working together, interconnections, etc. So that's something the subcommittee has worked together to try to accomplish that. I can show you the list of all the people in there. We could pull that up and go through it in greater detail, but that's really probably something at a later time to bring forward to you. So those efforts are continuing. What we also asked to do is, can I have the computer screen back? We asked there are a number of people involved on the committee and that we continue to talk to, and there is a water survey that we're asking the public to fill out. It's been on our website. Craig is mentioning it, the Board of Commissioners today. We've mentioned it here before. This is an example of what the Upper Black Squirrel Groundwater Management District put on. And I bring this up in case anybody's viewing this and wants to see how to do it. We've also now asked the Council of Neighborhood Organizations to send this out to their associated list, including met with the folks from NEPCO in the northern part of the county, simply to do something like this that involves the county water master plan, and then you end up coming into a link on that master plan, and we're going to hand that out as a business card. And frankly, it pulls up, for a citizen's point of view, how they can have input into the water master plan and provide comments. And I think we've already shown this to you once before, so I don't want to go into level of detail, but that's what we're trying to certainly achieve, is at least 200 people filling out the survey to get a wider representation of it. So we're spreading that information on a more public level. Yes?
I just wanted to mention Colorado Center Metropolitan District also has it on their website.
Great. And that's what we were trying to get to, is various places so people could fill that out.
And Ms. Friedman?
Yes. I know that the Sheriff's Department has access to the Nextdoor app for public announcements. Does the planning group have access to that as well?
I don't know that we do Nextdoor app. Our IT folks or public information will help us. We were putting it directly on the web page, on our own web page.
Yeah.
But as you know, the county's revised its web page real recently, and what you used to see there is not there anymore, and how you get to it has changed, and so we'll probably also do something.
Yeah, because
like
otherwise that would be, I mean, we could do it ourselves for our neighborhoods, but Coffee with a Cop and things like that always show up on Nextdoor, and so that might be an easy way for you guys to reach a lot of folks, too. Thank you.
Mr. Joya.
On that topic, Kono is really good at marshaling the forces for Nextdoor.com and the app as well. They know that very well. Do you know how many responses you already have? Because this has been up now for a while.
I didn't look and see, but we were close to 100 last time, I think.
Okay.
And they'd like to get to 200, I assume. For
right. 200 even 200 seems like a very small number. That's why
seems like an extremely small number when you've got 600,000 people in the county and 160,000 outside the city limits that we're really targeting. We asked for Kono when we sent it to them. We asked them to try to target those areas outside the city limits because the city's done its own integrated water plan, but we're not going to discount those that are in the city.
Of course.
Because if you followed things, and I think you have, Tony, for sure, the city's doing certain efforts on their utilities advisory board to potentially accommodate. They need to pay for Southern Delivery System, so they need some people to connect to it, which gets kind of ironic with how they modified the Banning Lewis Ranch annexation agreement to bring everybody in. That may mean they don't have water to go outside, but we'll have to see how all that happens in the near future.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Gebhardt on the water? Okay.
Okay, and we have a couple little updates relative to the Planning Commission hearing today. As you know, that we, if we could go to the overhead as well. You have a series of items today. The first note is that you will have a meeting on May 15th. That's 2 weeks from today. There's a fairly short agenda that day, but it is your election of officers in your annual meeting. You have a series of consent items today, and the information relative to those is in your package. The consent items, the water sufficiency on the first three items is not necessary. The water sufficiency on the Carriage Meadows and the Meadowbrook is appropriate. The several of those are consent items, and then you want to have a regular item for a map amendment for Abert Ranch, which doesn't have a water sufficiency requirement. Regarding those consent item summaries, the map amendment Springs at Waterview Residential, that was the only one that had any notification by neighbors that had a concern. That notification was from a landowner immediately to the east of it in the same development that was concerned about blocking her views of the mountains. On items that you have been previously have heard by you that have gone on to the board, you recommend approval of both of those items, the Front Range Solar and the variance up in Park Vista Estates. Both of those were approved by the Board of County Commissioners. Beaufort, variance of use was for outside storage that had existed prior to him making the application. The County Commissioner was very concerned, as you see in a regular basis, of applying for it after the fact.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Joya.
I have just one question for you. On the Carriage Meadows North filing, since it is on our consent calendar, I want to make sure that I ask this question before we decide whether we want to pull it. We have a little packet of responses that came this time. Are those, by any chance, duplicate responses from the preliminary plan when we first saw it, or are these brand new people who have come out now? Do you know?
Ms. Parsons will address that.
Mr. Goya, the preliminary plan was approved over a decade ago, so I would presume that they are new responses.
Okay. Thank you.
Does staff have any other questions on any of the consent items on the calendar just before we make a decision as to whether or not you'd like to pull them? Okay, the chair does have one relative to the rezones on Waterview Residential and Commercial. I find it interesting that they downgraded Bradley from an arterial to a collector, and then the study finds out that they're going to have 2,500 more trips per day. Can staff tell me anything about that transportation issue relative to the rezones? mean, I just worry when they're going to have extra traffic and they're downgrading roads, it doesn't, that sounds like a contradiction to me.
A while back they downgraded to collector, but then currently right now the MTCP is also showing it as an arterial. So we're not quite sure what's going on, but for the traffic, it looked like it had a capacity right now. It's not connecting through. I'm not sure once it actually connects through to powers what the full plan is, if it's going to become upgraded again to an arterial. But okay, as of now, it's identified as collector.
So this is rezoning, but we'll have an opportunity to visit that issue during the preliminary plans and final plats and those sorts of stages?
Yeah, there's going to be a certain cost pro rata for any improvement that might be identified in the final plat for improvements on Bradley or Powers or any intersection lights. But I think with any development that happens around that intersection of Bradley and Powers and the west side of it, I think we'd be able to look at it again.
Okay, I'm just worried about the disconnects between being shown as an arterial versus a collector, and who's going to be responsible for building it as an arterial if, in fact, that becomes necessary. So, okay. I mean, if we have an opportunity to revisit it later, that's fine. I just wanted to ask about that up front, but there is right now currently some question about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the full history and the decision and why it got downgraded in the past.
Okay. I'll be asking that at the appropriate time.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Any other questions on those? Okay. With that, I am going to read the items on our consent calendar, and then I will give an opportunity to any commissioner or any audience member who wishes to pull any item from the consent calendar to the regular calendar, after which we'll just clear the consent calendar with a single motion. So I'll read. Our consent calendar includes the minutes from our April 17th meeting. It includes item 2B, file number P-17-006, a map amendment rezone Springs East at Waterview Residential with two conditions and two notations. Item 2C, file number CS-18-002, map amendment rezone Springs East at Waterview Commercial with two conditions and two notations. Item 2 Delta, file number PAPA-17-017, map amendment rezone Springs at Waterview Residential with two conditions and two notations. Item 2E, file number SF-17-023, final plat for Carriage Meadows North filing number 1 with 13 conditions, 2 notations, and a finding of sufficiency for quality, water quality, quantity, and dependability. And finally, item 2F, file number SF-18-004, final plat Meadowbrook Crossing filing number 2 with 11 conditions and 4 notations, and defining a sufficiency for water quality, quantity, and dependability. So with the rezones and the final plats, do any commissioners wish to see any of those items heard as a regular item? Does anyone in the audience wish to hear those items? Ms. Lucia Treese.
I have a question.
Yes.
On Carriage Meadows, is there anyone in the audience here? Pardon me?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just wondered if there were any folks here for Carriage Meadows.
That's what I was just asking.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And is there, to complete her phenomenal question, an insightful question, is there anyone in the audience who is here to speak to any of those issues and would like to hear them heard as a regular item? Hearing none, we will treat the entire consent calendar as read, and the chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Joyous.
I move that we approve the consent items as listed.
Second.
So I have a motion by Mr. Joya and a second by Ms. Lucia Therese to approve the consent calendar as read. Is there any discussion on the motion? With that, the chair will entertain a vote. Mr. Joya.
Aye.
Mr. Risley.
Aye.
Mr. Wood.
Aye.
Ms. Lucia Treese.
Aye.
Ms. Dillon.
Aye.
Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye, and the entire consent calendar is recommended to the Board of County Commissioners for approval. Moving now to the regular item on the agenda, item number three, file number P-17-005. We have a map amendment rezone for Abert Ranch with four conditions and two notations. Ms. Parsons.
Good morning, Commissioners. Carrie Parsons with Planning and Community Development. I would like to present to you the Abert Ranch map amendment or rezone, which is our file number P-17-5. Your review staff on this was myself and review engineer Gilbert LaForce. At this time, I would request that the county attorney read the criteria for approval for a map amendment or a rezoning.
Cole Lemon, Senior Assistant County Attorney. The approval criteria are, as you can see on the overhead, the application is in general conformance with the El Paso County Master Plan, including applicable small area plans, or there has been a substantial change in the character of the neighborhood since the land was last rezoned.
Mr. Emmons, I'm sorry, could you hold one second? Mr. Joya?
I was just going to ask, I don't know if your microphone is really down low. I can barely hear you, though. I don't know.
I guess you'll just have to listen.
Closer to it?
You'll just have to listen louder.
This is why we use headsets.
Is this any better?
Nancy, can you turn Cole's microphone up, please?
Try again. The application is in general conformance with the county master plan, including applicable small area plans, or there has been a substantial change in the character of the neighborhood since the land was last zoned. This is not a PUD. You do not have to find master plan consistency. If you can't find master plan consistency, you do have an ability to go to the alternative step, and that is, has there been a change in the character of the surrounding area? The next one is the rezoning is in compliance with applicable statutory provisions. Statutes are listed, those are notice provisions. The proposed land use or zone district is compatible with existing and permitted land uses in zone districts in all directions. And finally, the site is suitable for the intended use, including ability to meet the standards as described in Chapter 5 for the intended zone district. Any questions on those?
Some concerns and issues related to this rezone or map amendment from staff. The RR, the Rural Residential 2.5-acre zoning district, requires a minimum lot size of 2.5 acres, which is more dense than the recommended density of one dwelling unit per 5 acres or 5-acre lots within the Black Forest Preservation Plan and specifically the Northern Grasslands subarea. Instead of proposing development of the property at densities consistent with the suggested density of the plan, the applicant has proposed tapering the lot sizes from a minimum of 5 acres adjacent to Stepler Road to 2.5 acres towards the west of the development. From the neighbors, the county did receive a letter in opposition from a property owner to the north, and her concerns were lack of conformance with the small area planned and lot size compatibility. And then additionally, throughout the application process, we have received correspondence from the land planner that was hired by the property owner to the north, which represented and planned the Grandview subdivision, and he also represented the development to the south known as Settlers Ranch, and I believe he is here in the audience today. At this time, I would like to request that the applicant's consultant come up and present the application to you.
Hey, And for the consultant, any other audience members who come up, we ask that you sign in and state your name for the record, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Commissioners. For the record, Jerry Hannigan, Hannigan and Associates, representing BF Ranch Trust, owner of the property. This is a 40-acre, nominally 40-acre parcel, and in the northern part of the county. Nancy, can I have the overhead? May I, please? For those of you who were here last time, you might recall this when we just did Settlers View. I'm sorry. This is a parcel map. It is based on the tax assessor's map, and it illustrates those properties, those parcels that were part of the Hodgen Ranch. This happens to be circa 1936. The parcel that's shaded here is Settlers View that was just approved by the Board of County Commissioners for rezoning and preliminary plan. The parcel adjoining it, this inverted L, is the parcel we're talking about today, and that's Abert Ranch. In order to give you another view and an understanding of exactly where it is, this is Highway 83 running north and south. This is Highway 105, which runs back into Monument, Town of Monument. To the east of that, it is renamed Walker Road. And then to the south, this is Hodgen. Running from Hodgen up to Walker is Stepler. And here is the property highlighted again. North, as was mentioned, north of it is the existing Grandview subdivision. It is PD zoned. Lot sizes run from 2.5 to 5 out adjoining Stepler Road. To the south is Settlers Ranch, which is this. It runs up through and up to Stepler Ranch and adjoins this property to the south. It is also zoned PD, and it is 2.5 to 5 acre lots out towards the east as well. And if I zoom that in just a little bit closer for you, you can see that lot arrangement as it exists in Grandview Estates, or Grandview Subdivision, I'm sorry. Adjoining property, Settlers View, as I just said, was just approved by yourselves and the board for RR 2.5 zoning and a site, a preliminary plan showing 14 lots, 2.5 to just over 3 acres. The Abert Ranch property adjoins that to the east and runs east from there. One thing I do want you to take away from this, other than this is obviously a change in the neighborhood, the other important point here is that this segment of Silvernell Drive, which connects and traverses through Settlers View Subdivision, is intended to come to this point on the boundary of Abert. Abert Ranch does not have an outlet otherwise onto Stepler Road, and so the connection that needs to be made is a connection to what is a platted but not yet constructed road in Settlers Ranch to the south, and that's Settlers Ranch Road, which adjoins the property here. Now, when we make the connection between Settlers Ranch Road and Silvernell in this fashion, it creates a lot of 2.63, 2.65, something like that, acres. And so in this particular case, the connection between Settlers View and Settlers Ranch completes the loop for Silvernell. which starts, I back up for you here, starts back at Stepler. This is all existing, of course. Comes back here. By the time we get here, we're 3/4 mile into it. Then it makes this connection here, and it'll make this connection here. Road will be coming up here, adjoins there, and actually comes back out to Stepler here. The access in this fashion has been planned all along. This is the not just preferred, but the planned access. The distance along Stepler is proper for meeting the county's criteria. If we were to access, and we do have an emergency access easement planned, but if we were to access this way, it has to be strictly a temporary situation because it doesn't meet the county's criteria. So we're stuck making this connection here through the two subdivisions. That's the first thing I wanted to let you know. There is a preliminary plan that we have, and I'm going to show it to you. I don't know if you're supposed to look at this, because the request today is for rezoning, and we'll go through that a little more, but we have a preliminary plan, and as you can see, it creates that connection back here to Settlers Ranch Road, and then it has varying lots ranging from 2.5 at the western boundary on out. This last lot, as we have it, is 6 1/4 or something like that. So considerably larger than the 5 acres that it's currently zoned for. So it's currently zoned for 8 lots. We're requesting 10 lots. That comes about for a number of reasons, one of which happens to be this roadway connection here. It needs to be made. You can see here's that easement that I was talking about. It is possible to build that, but then it has to be torn out, which is just a really stupid idea. So our proposal is to, in fact, make this connection, and then we've been working with Settlers Ranch to try and work out details on how we might be able to create that at the same time that we do all of this. So that's in the works. Just so that you have an understanding, again, if you didn't see this last time, these are photographs on site. This is a top photograph here. You can see the scattered trees, ponderosas, and I'll show you an overhead that illustrates where that are. They're basically in the north and northwest portion. The south portion is looking east, along that south property line. And you can see that's typical prairie, if you will. Used to be, but still is, grazed. And so it's cattle country. This is at the corner of the L, the inside corner of the L, looking back towards the north and west. And again, you can see the trees. And then this is looking southwest. You can see Pike's Peak there about in the center of the photo. That gives you an idea of what the property looks like. Again, at this point, it's a request for rezoning. It is not a request for approval of preliminary plan. We expect to be back with that shortly. And here you can see in this northwest corner here are the trees that you were seeing before. Another feature that's has been a constraining feature for the property, development of the property, is that it's down lower than either Grandview or Settlers Ranch on either side. And you can see this drainage that runs through the property, and it accepts drainage from both Grandview and from Settlers on the other side. So when we started this project, we sat down with the folks at the Black Forest Land Use Committee to try and get an understanding, because As mentioned, the plan, the Black Forest plan, utilizes the basin boundary between East and West Cherry Creek as the area between their different units. And the area to the west, they suggest that subdivision actually down to all, down to I think half an acre is theoretically usable, but 2.5 acres in this general area if it's on water and septic. Anything to the east of the basin boundary, and of course the plan goes to 1987, it says should not be subdivided at this time. There are, I don't know, 100 subdivisions in there already, so we've passed that point. But the somewhere, depending on how you want to interpret it, somewhere in here lies that basin boundary. And as you can see, this drainage I pointed out, that actually flows into East Cherry Creek. So this property lies within, as Carrie said, the grassland unit, and that master plan suggests 5-acre sites for those areas. In this case, both Grandview and Settlers Ranch to the south, being zoned PD, are created such, platted such, that they have lots tapering from 2.5 to 5 out along Stepler. So the area along Stepler has been created to be that minimum 5-acre size. So when we discussed this all with the committee, the expectation we had was that we needed to maximize the use of the property as best we can, and still needed to be able to create something that was suitable and meets the same kind of criteria as the adjoining properties. And so that's why we have the tapering, 2.5 on the adjoining the west, and the existing 2.5 are currently zoned 2.5 there, tapering out to 5 and 6. The last three lots are 4.5, 5 and change, and 6 and something, as we have them now. So we're providing that taper and accommodating the need to make the connection to the south to connect up to Settlers Ranch, and accommodating the topography and being able to create good sites as well. Going to zoning, obviously, as Cole mentioned, you need to be able to find either conformance with the master plan as it is, and the Black Forest Land Use Committee supports, obviously, the request as it is, or you need to find a change in the neighborhood. I would suggest to you the fact that the adjoining property is now zoned R2.5 might be that change, and then that it is compatible with the existing uses. Of course, the existing uses are residential, and then that the site itself is suitable for the use. And again, one of the conditions that you have in this is that the site be limited platting wise to 10 lots. And so at 40.40 acres, which is the gross on the property, that would be one dwelling unit per 4.04 acres. So I would suggest to you that it's suitable. Questions? Anything I can answer?
Commissioners, do we have any questions for Mr. Hannigan? Ms. Friedman.
When we were looking at Settlers View, yes. One of the important things was where that ridge was,
yes,
that divided the eastern part and the western part of the 5 acres and the 2.5s. Could you show that where that is on the map, please?
Well, I'm going to tell you that it's entirely to the west of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, and I think basin boundary map that Carrie had, it should be in your packet, and that I think is in agreement. There's also another one that the Black Forest Land Use Committee has that's a little further to the east, but I'm going to suggest to you, for what it's worth, that this property lies within that East Cherry Creek drainage basin. And so in accordance with that 30-year-old comment in the master plan, shouldn't be subdivided at all, but should be subdivided into 5-acre lots. Does that help?
Yeah, my only concern is that when Settlers View came up, that was an important consideration by the commission to consider that part of the parcel was actually in the western part.
Right.
And so, you know, it seems like it could be a very slippery slope to say, well, this time it's okay because of this particular situation. Oh, look, well, now we have the 2.5s there, so now we can have 2.5s next to them. And, you know, the feathering, that's a, you know, I appreciate how that's a response to that concern, but that's why I was curious about it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Mr. Hannigan? Okay, thank you. We'll hear the staff report.
Okay, Terry Parsons, Planning and Community Development. Hello again. For some context, this is currently the Abert Ranch site, the recently approved RR 2.5 that Mr. Hannigan is referring to, known as Settlers View. Settlers Ranch here, Grand View to the north. The remaining tan or khaki color is currently zoned RR5. The Walden Preserve here with 2.5-acre lots here and then tapering down and then into the half-acre lots for the Walden 3 subdivision. As Mr. Hannigan stated, this is a request to rezone from RR5 to RR2.5. This is a actual reason, a depiction of their rezone map that the applicant submitted. A little bit of background. The county initiated zoning of this area from unzoned to rural or A5 in 1965. Nomenclature's changed that to what we currently have today is RR5 in 2007. The Grandview subdivision, as we stated, to the north was required to construct and extend Silvernell Drive to this property. Settlers Ranch Development was also required to extend Settlers Ranch Road up to this adjacent property and then east to the Stepler Road. That has not occurred yet, but it is anticipated to occur in approximately 5 years. Settlers View Development was rezoned from RR5 to RR2.5 last month by the Board of County Commissioners. A preliminary plan was also approved that day, depicting 14 single-family lots. There was no changes from what was presented to this board to the Board of County Commissioners. Again, what is before you today is just a rezoning for the Abert. The preliminary plan is not considered today. In terms of the land development code, staff agrees that the rezone request complies with Section 5.3.5B of the code if the Board of County Commissioners finds that the application is consistent with the small area plan. This application does meet the submittal requirements and the standards for a map amendment in Chapter 5 of our code. This is that preliminary plan concurrently reviewed. And I want to just do a little bit more detail on the graphic because I'm going to be referring to that in my policy and small area plan. This is the area that is being requested before you to be rezoned. The applicant is currently depicting about a 6.27-acre lot adjacent to Steffler, going to 5.87, continuing west 4.52, and then beginning 2.73, 2.5, 2.5, 2.9, 2.6, 3.5, and 3. To the north, in the Grandview subdivision, in comparison, adjacent to Steffler, we have a 5-acre lot, a 5-acre lot, a 3.25-acre lot here. To the south, in the Settlers Ranch subdivision. We have a 5-acre lot, a 5-acre lot, a 5-acre lot, a 5-acre lot, and then 3.25 acres down over here for some comparison. In terms of the policy plan highlights that I selected, policy 6.13, encouraging development which is contiguous and compatible with previously developed areas. 6.1.8, encourage incorporation of buffers and transitions. 6.1.4, support development which complements the unique environmental conditions and established land use characters of each subarea of the county. And 6.1A, encourage patterns of growth and development which complements the region's unique natural environments and which reinforce community character. In terms of policy plan analysis, again, the applicant proposing 2.5-acre lots with the 5-acre lots adjacent to Stepler Road transitioning westward to smaller lots. Staff found that in general conformance with the policy plan. The Walden 3 development to the far northwest, which is not located within this subarea, is zoned half acre or RR 0.5. South of the Walden 3 development and west of the subject property is the Walden Preserve, which includes lots ranging from 1/2 acre up to 2.5 acres. And those areas were intended to serve as a transition between the Walden Preserve development and the remaining RR5 zoned land in this area, which would include this proposed development. 2.5 acre minimum lot size of this development is consistent with that transition provided by the Walden Preserve development and the Settler View development to the west and the remaining RR5 zoned properties in the area. I come to that conclusion because the Grand View subdivision dedicated right of way to the north to the currently zoned RR5 and undeveloped land. The Walden Preserve developments also dedicated right-of-way to the undeveloped land, which suggests a future development proposal. In terms of the Black Forest Preservation Plan, again, this site is specifically in the Northern Grassland subarea, which is defined by the basin line. This is that basin line. So as you can see, the basin line is far to the west of the proposed Abert Ranch, West Cherry Creek here, and East Cherry Creek here. And Ms. Friedman, you had asked if that portion of the Settler's View, which you heard last month, was in that. And yes, the Settler's View portion here is that East Cherry Creek and then the West Cherry Creek of the previous application. So the Abert Ranch is solely within the East Cherry Creek Basin and therefore the Northern Grassland subarea boundary. Again, the recommendation of that small area plan is that the land is developed to one dwelling unit per 5 acres. As Mr. Hannigan stated, the Black Forest Land Use Committee did not object to this application. In terms of staff small area plan analysis, minimum lot size of 2.5 acres is more dense than the recommended density of the subarea. The applicant is proposing to plat lots with a minimum of 5 acres adjacent to Stepler, as depicted on the concurrently reviewed preliminary plan, which is consistent with the recommended lot size of 5 acres in the Northern Grassland subarea. But the plan proposes to taper lot sizes from 5 acres to 2.5 acres as it extends west to the recently approved 2.5-acre Settler's View development. The recommended condition of approval number 4 requires that the two lots nearest Stepler Road be a minimum of 5 acres in size. The third lot nearest to Stepler Road is required to be a minimum of 4.5 acres, which provides a more robust transition than the area than the approved developments to the north and south, which I pointed out earlier with that map. There is one 2.5-acre lot in the development to the north, as I stated, and one 3.25-acre lot in development to the south. The remaining adjacent lots to the north and south are at least 5 acres in size. Recommended condition of approval number 3 would cap the number of lots allowed in the future development to 10. The applicant could increase the lot sizes depicted on the concurrently reviewed preliminary plan to ensure that they are more consistent in terms of size with the adjacent developments and more consistent with the plan. This would result in a need to revise recommended condition of approval number 3 to limit the number of lots allowed down to 8 from 10. Staff recommends the proposed map amendment is not consistent with the plan for the reasons identified above. The plan states, however, when in administrative use, these components should be applied holistically. This means that the consistency or inconsistency of an application with a single policy or recommendation should be of less importance than its relationship to the overall spirit and intent of the elements when taken in together. And staff also notes that the small area plan is an advisory document. In terms of drainage, as we stated, the site is within the East Cherry Creek Basin. There are, the basin has not been studied, so no fees would be collected at time of final plat. And as we stated previously, access would be granted from the Silvernell Drive and the Settlers Ranch Road. Is there any questions?
Any questions for staff? Ms. Friedman.
Question. I guess I haven't, I'm new, so I haven't heard about the Black Forest Land Use Preservation Committee. Could you tell us more about the status of that and what the role of that board is?
The Black Forest Land Use Committee is now the Friends of the Black Forest, and it is a voluntary community or committee, and the committee, I don't like to speak for an outside right. agency, clearly, right. but in a nutshell, the committee voluntarily reviews applications and sends the county their opinions mm-hmm. as to how the applications conform to the 1987 plan. It has been stated repeatedly in the Board of County Commissioners hearing that this committee does not represent every single person in the Black Forest, but a select few that choose to participate in the Black Forest.
Thank you. And I don't remember that having been mentioned for Settlers View, and so that's why I just became curious about it. So every time there is one in the Black Forest, you guys actually get a input.
Yes, and if I could digress and a little bit off subject, clearly not related to this application, but some for reference. Yeah. The retreat at Timber Ridge, if you remember, had Miss Judy Van, I'm going to mispronounce her name, and I apologize, Van Alfright, German name. She represented the Friends of the Black Forest Committee, as did Mr. Terry Stoka in that mm-hmm. land use application.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for staff? Okay, with that, before we move to the testimony phase and the motions and discussion, I'm going to take a short relief break. We'll take 5 minutes and return. We are resuming topic on the Abert rezone application, and we've just completed the staff presentation. Again, just to repeat, any questions for staff from the commissioners? With that, anything further from staff?
Okay. No, sir.
With that, we'll entertain comments for the proposition. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak in favor of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak against the application? Thank you, sir. I'd ask that you sign in and then state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is David Jones. I'm a landscape architect and land planner representing the developers of the Grandview subdivision.
Mr. Joy?
Sir, I'm sorry. Can you say it again? Representing whom?
The developers of the Grandview subdivision to the north on it. That subdivision hasn't transitioned from the developers over ownership of the HOA to the individual lot owners in there yet. It's very near. So I'm also representing the HOA by virtue of the developers in that subdivision. Could I have the overhead, please? When we started developing this area, we basically did the Grandview subdivision up in this location concurrent with the Settlers Ranch subdivision down in this location. We knew we were leaving some undeveloped parcels, two parcels, neither of which had direct access onto Stepler Road in between us. So we understood that we had an obligation to provide access interiorly through there. We provided access to this parcel at this location from Grandview. We provided access to this parcel anywhere from here to here via the Settlers Ranch subdivision on it. You'll see a red line through here. That's that basin definition line, the same one Carrie showed you on her plan. The time we did these subdivisions on it and looked at this whole area, we spent a lot of time with comprehensive planning, a gentleman by the name of Carl Schuler at that point, and with engineering, talking about this basin, how it breaks out, because it's important. The location of this line was actually defined by our project engineer, JPS Engineering. JPS Engineering also defined it for this piece in through here, and both this parcel and this parcel of used JPS Engineering to define it at that location going through there. It's not a subjective issue. It's there. That's the location, that's the line, and that's the line everybody was given when we started the overall planning and development. Again, we had to coordinate basically four parcels between four owners with interests with the Black Forest Land Use Committee and with interests of the individual developers as they came through. It was at that point, it was a hard and fast decision by planning on it and by the Black Forest Land Use Committee that this line was fixed. And what the code said was on one side of it you could do two and a halves, on the other side you could do fives on it. Both this developer and this developer accepted that, said, okay, that's what we're going to do. That's an expensive decision to buy in on, with the settlers portion in through here going to 5 acre lots cost over $1 million in sales for the Settlers Ranch project. For the Grandview subdivision, it costs over $600,000. That's in lost additional lots that would be sold with no corresponding compensation in savings of construction costs. So it's a very serious issue, and they took it very serious in both those developers and having to build that program in. When the Settlers View subdivision came in and they made the argument that, well, that line, we don't know exactly where it is. They knew where it was. That's where they put it. But they felt like, well, maybe there should be some leeway in the language that wasn't given to the other two developers on it. I'd be the last person up here to say that you shouldn't change a master plan on it, because I do all the time. There are reasons to change master plans. However, in this case, I don't see a change in the community circumstance that would justify that. We did
did make that change over in Settlers View. You did that in March of this year. You said, okay, even though they're in an area that was originally thought to be fives, let's put 2.5s in there because it's close. And we shouldn't be so focused on just one single line. And so that was approved on it. When we are now looking at this subdivision, they're using a justification on this subdivision to put 2.5s in this location because there's 2.5s in that location. I think it was brought up earlier. It just doesn't make sense. The issues are more than just one developer gets a larger lot than the other. One developer makes more money than the other. In changing this zone, for this acreage on it, you're putting more lots in there. More lots is more vehicular circulation. And in this case, if you had a chance to read any of the correspondence I put in the files on this, we have a real concern in our subdivision, in the Grandview subdivision, that we have originally 17 lots in here. We've got an additional house that takes access from that. So there's 18 lots taking access onto this long cul-de-sac. 25 lots is the maximum by code. And so when this portion came in, that was another 14 lots that were thrown on top of our 17 lots, which far exceeded code at that point. We're now looking at a situation in which there could be another 10 lots put in here on it, which at least for a time on it, that traffic could be forced all the way up here and all the way back down here through our existing subdivision. That's 42 lots. That's just not even close to being an acceptable situation. We say it's temporary, and it was mentioned in the write-ups interview, the developer, Mark Davis, has said in looking at his portion of the build-out of this subdivision, he thinks it could be maybe 5 years to get to this point right here. And that's today's best guess on it. I can tell you that had that same question been asked to Mark in 2006, he would have said, maybe 5 years. It's just a reality. Markets change, things, people change their mind in their development configuration, so on and so forth. Until this portion of this road is built, and until this connection is made through here so that this traffic can go the way it ought to go in through here, we've got a situation in which the existing infrastructure will not handle the zone change that's in front of you. And that's one of the basic issues that you look at in making a zone change. Does the infrastructure, is it capable of handling the additional lots that would be put on into that subdivision if in fact the zone change is granted? Today it won't. There's no guarantee as to when it will. The preliminary plan that has been submitted, but it's not before you today. And quite frankly, I don't understand that at all. On it, we've got a zone change that's got all kinds of conditions thrown into it now about, well, the easterly lots have to be X number of acres in size and so on and so forth. However, it makes no sense at this point to look at this particular zone change without looking at the preliminary plan so that you can see, are there things physically that can mitigate these issues that we're talking about, the zone change level? When we did Grandview and when we did the Settlers Ranch subdivision, we did those under PUDs. We were told we had to do those under PUDs and process the zone change along with the development plan because we had varying lot sizes. Same situation you have today. However, you've got an application in here that's asking for an RR 2.5 on 33 to 40 acres, I'm not sure exactly what that is, where almost half of that land is then excluded from being able to do the 2.5. So why wouldn't you ask for the 2.5 acres on the portion you're putting 2.5 acre lots and leave the other one in the RR5 instead of doing the whole thing in an RR2.5 and then trying to jerry-rig a bunch of conditions about a plan that's not even before you today? So our basic argument today is we think we're premature on this. The issue of vehicular circulation has not been resolved with the application that's in front of you. We're going to have the true potential of having all of this traffic coming back up in here to here, waiting for a connection here and the construction of this. As we were negotiating, or not negotiating, but as we were talking with planning and with the developers on these pieces, we suggested, why don't we go to Mark Davis at Settlers, make a deal to build this road? They're talking about building an emergency access road along here. Why not put that money into that road now on it instead of putting an emergency access road in there that allows access for emergency vehicles but still requires that all of this day-to-day traffic comes in and out and through the Grandview subdivision? I mean, again, we're talking 42 lots where 25 is allowed by code. It just doesn't make sense. We think this is a preliminary or a premature request, that the zone change request should be concurrent with the preliminary plan request so that we can look at infrastructures to see if in fact the infrastructure is there to handle the zone change that's in front of you. I might also mention that it was said that the new line is basically Stepler Road and one lot deep in, and that's what the comprehensive plan was really saying. It didn't say that at all. You'll see our lots at 2.5 come clear into here. Our lots at 2.5 or at 5 acres come clear into here. 5 acres come clear into here. They're not just the lots that are on Stepler Road. It's not even close on it. So past that, there's some other issues that we have, but they're really housekeeping issues that relates to preliminary plans and final plats, so I won't take your time with those today. If we get to those points, I'll be back again to talk about those. But I did want to talk about the two issues, the lot sizes and the vehicular circulation and the 42 lots that you're feeding 42 families through this one long cul-de-sac here, back here, and back here, even though you've got an emergency access there. It's an unconscionable thing to ask the homeowners in Grandview to handle all that. I mean, you asked us to do this, and we said, yeah, and you approved it. Now you're coming back and adding this. Believe me, there's a reason this wasn't brought before you the same time this was on it. And so I'll try to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions from the commissioners for Mr. Jones? Seeing none, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
With that, we give the applicant an opportunity to come up and make final words or rebuttal.
Thank you. Dave's two comments, as I heard them, really went to the issue of density. And truth of the matter is that density is one dwelling unit per 4 acres at 10 lots. So it's not all 2.5 acre lots. There are only 2 2.5 acre lots in our preliminary plan at the moment. And one of the conditions you have is that it be limited to 10 lots. So it will be one dwelling unit per 4 acres. His other concern about traffic obviously is a valid concern. Let me tell you that the developer of Settlers View that was just approved, we're working on the final plat on that. And that development expects to physically construct the infrastructure at the same time, hopefully, as the infrastructure on Abert Ranch. We've been talking with Mark Davis all along, And our expectation is that we will be able to work with Mark to come up with a way to construct, and it's about 1,700 feet, of Settlers Ranch Road rather than some emergency access road. It isn't possible to develop this 10 lots without having at least two points of access, and that's either going to be Settlers Ranch Road together with Silvernell, or it's going to be Silvernell together with that emergency access, which we'd only have to tear out later, which is about as dumb as it gets. So I think as far as density, we've obviously creating, because of the location of Silvernell and because of the location of Settlers Ranch Road, we're going to have a 2.5-acre parcel in that corner just by making that connection. And so it's not, well, it's 2.63. It's not unreasonable in order to complete the development to be able to taper the lot sizes from that on out to at least 5. We've got 627, then 5, then 4.5, something like that. And that's what your conditions of approval include, and we're okay with those. Any other questions I can answer?
Any questions from commissioners, from Mr. Hannigan? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
With that, the chair will entertain discussion from the commissioners. Any commissioners? Mr. Joya.
I plan to vote in favor of this. I do understand the kind of slippery slope argument that has been made, but I do believe that the fact that it tapers out to over 5 on the east side of this, assuming the preliminary plan remains the same for when it comes back, but if it doesn't, then we'll certainly see that when it comes back. I agree with the comments from the applicant that the one dwelling unit per 4 acres is not overburdening this area. The I do agree that the comments about transportation are relatively significant. However, to say that even if it was remaining at RR5 and they wanted to develop it, you're still going to have the exact same problem with overburdening the single road with the cul-de-sac. It's not going to be viable with just a cul-de-sac there, and I really appreciate the fact that the applicant is working with the neighbor to the south to try to get that road figured out before they start having families move in. So I believe that once it comes back as a preliminary plan and then final plat, we're going to have to address some of these issues, but the looking forward plan for that right now I think is sufficient, and I will be voting in favor.
Thank you. Other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Risley.
Thank you. Although I appreciate a lot of your comments, Mr. Joya, I unfortunately disagree slightly. I think that the issue of going down a slippery slope here, it becomes more and more of a concern in my mind. Settlers View is sort of on the cusp. There was, because that's one contiguous parcel that sort of spans that dividing line, I understand some latitude there. But if you look, and Mr. Jones, I don't think you addressed this specifically, but if you look at where the 2.5-acre lots are on Grandview Subdivision and what was proposed for Settlers Ranch, filing number 2, it appeared to me that the dividing line, that basin line, aligned almost perfectly with the division between the 2.5-acre and 5-acre lots. So to the east of that dividing line were the 5-acre lots. To the west of that dividing line were the 2.5-acre. The Abert Ranch property sits entirely to the east of that in the eastern basin. And so I feel like if we set the precedent of we're close, but maybe it's close enough, even though we're truly with this property entirely in the eastern basin, I'm just concerned with the precedent that sets. And I also am a little bit puzzled why a preliminary plan was provided, but provided in an advisory form. It would seem to me that if the if this is what the applicant is truly moving forward with, that both would be presented simultaneously for approval. And again, kind of aligning with Mr. Jones' comments, I think that would be, if nothing else, a much more compelling argument, because it would sort of crystallize what the intent is beyond just the conditions and notations. So because of those concerns, I'm going to be voting against this item.
Any other comment? Ms. Dillon.
I agree with Mr. Beasley on those facts. Plus, the transportation thing bothers me. That is a lot of cars on a small road. I don't think that's right. I know it's temporary, but that temporary has no time limit. Could be 5, could be 10, could be. That one bothers me a lot. I will be voting against this.
Other comments? Ms. Lucia Treese.
Well, I'm still kind of up in the air on this. I appreciate my fellow commissioner's comments. I am concerned about the traffic and the infrastructure. And the connection of the roads. I don't know, this is kind of a tough one for me. And, you know, to put in the emergency road only to have to tear it out later doesn't make a whole lot of good common sense to me either. So those are just my comments.
Anyone else? Ms. Friedman.
I agree with Mr. Risley, and I think following, you know, adding on to that, the idea that if you had the preliminary plan at the same time, I think that if the road was an agreed to thing, then that corner that needs to be that 2.5 acres could be like one lot that's 2.5 acres, and the rest could be 5. And that might be a compelling story, more so than we don't really know where the road's going to go, but there's a 2.5 acres is necessary. And so then, of course, other 2.5s are okay too, if you see what I'm saying. So I would, I will be with the people voting against.
Any other comments? The chair will note that I share those concerns. And this is a rezoning, strictly a rezoning application. We're not looking at the preliminary plan. The preliminary plan can be changed later if the zoning isn't changed. It can be moved. That road doesn't have to go there. It could go somewhere else potentially. When we looked at the previous application where it had that border and the topographical issues, some of that 2.5 made sense in that area. But I agree that this particular property is, in fact, entirely in that Northern Grasslands area. It is not abutted by any 2.5 acre lots directly abutting it. And so considering strictly the rezoning, and when I ignore the preliminary plan, I too have concerns, particularly relative to the compatibility with the master plan. Even though it's advisory, I think the argument about the change nature more to the west made sense, but I don't find that same compelling argument to the east. So with that, is there any further discussion on the item? With that, the chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Joya.
As regards regular item number 3, P-17-005, map amendment rezone for the Abert Ranch, I move for approval under the new standard resolution, page 27, with 4 conditions and 2 notations.
So we have a motion for item 2D, file number P-17-017, map amendment, correction. Item 3, file number P-17-005, map amendment rezone Abert Ranch with 4 conditions and 2 notations. We have a motion for approval. Do we have a second?
Okay.
Hearing none, do we have an alternative motion?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Lucia Treese.
On item number 3, P-17-005, map amendment rezoning Abert Ranch with the new standard resolution page denial and with four notations and four conditions and two notations.
Okay, and when we do denials, we normally cite a specific criterion associated with that denial?
The denial for me would be infrastructure and transportation, traffic. Okay.
And I don't have that handy with us. I know that suitability to the proposed use, I think, is probably there.
Suitability.
So as regards item number three, file P17005, map amendment rezone, Abert Ranch with four conditions and two notations, we have a motion for denial in accordance with the new standard resolution on page 28, citing insuitability based on the infrastructure. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second from Ms. Dillon. So we have a motion and a second for denial. Do we have any discussion on the motion? With that, we have a vote on the motion. I will remind commissioners that an aye vote is for denial and a nay vote is for approval of the rezone. And Mr. Gioia?
Nay.
Mr. Risley?
Aye.
Mr. Wood?
Aye.
Ms. Lucia-Treese?
Aye.
Ms. Dillon?
Aye.
Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye, and the motion for recommending denial to the Board of County Commissioners is passed 6-1. Mr. Gioia, did you want to add any further comments to your nay vote?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I believe that this taper is the correct way to do this this change, as opposed to an abrupt change from 2.5 to the west to a 5 plus to the coming to the east. So I do believe that a taper will be the correct way to go about this development, especially considering that once the road is built, we're going to be stuck with at least one, if not more lots that are going to have to be smaller anyway. So we need that taper. I think it's appropriate.
Thank you. And with that item is concluded. Do we have any final comments from staff? I understand we do have a meeting on the 15th of May. That will be our organizational meeting, and we may have other items as well. Anything else? With that, today's Planning Commission meeting is adjourned.